We know you have a lot of sucky broadcasts to choose from. So thank you for listening to this sucky broadcast. And now, here's Bradley Laborman.
Hello. Whoa, where am I at? Am I here? I think I'm here. There I am. Oh, hi, everybody. Welcome to this sucky broadcast. It's been technical difficulties galore. In fact, I'm realizing now I can't even hear myself. I hope I can fix that real quick by switching something in the audio. I think I just have to switch this thing right here, and then maybe I can hear myself. Nope, I still can't hear myself. I can hear myself. There we go. Anyways, let me turn down the music because that's driving me crazy. And welcome to this sucky broadcast. It is the energy has been very weird right now. I'm hoping that a lot of stuff happened. I'll get into some stuff a little bit later. I'm going to gripe about a company in a little bit. It's going to be great. But I feel like the thing that's going to clean up our energy right now is our next guest, is my guest for today, for this week's show. She is fantastic. She is a celebrity psychic. She has a lot of positive energy. She's beautiful. And her name is Shauna Grace. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Bradley.
Well, I'm glad that you could stop in. I'm glad that you could be here on the show today. It is a very interesting show. Like I said, I'm having very weird, I don't think there's anything in retrograde or something like that, but it feels like stuff is in retrograde because like a bunch of stuff happened today to me. And then my computer stopped working and then it started working and then it stopped working. But here we are now.
Well, I'm sorry. First off, I'm so sorry that those things happened, but I also could very much relate to feeling, you know, where it's like, am I in a retrograde? When in fact you're not, it just, might be some other things that might be influencing it or, you know, there's really a lot of different answers that could probably, you know, fill in the reason as to why. But I feel you, and I'm glad you got that figured out.
Man, I'm glad I got that figured out, too. I am so happy that you were on the show today. I have just so many interesting questions. I always have interesting questions, but I just feel like you're very interesting and somebody that I really enjoy talking to. And just want to pick your brain and talk about things and all good stuff. I like when you go, oh, and I'm like, no, I'm being honest. So,
well, first I appreciate off, that. Thank you.
Well, that's what I'm here for. That's what I'm here for. So, first off, right away, I just want to tell you before we start the show, I have to plug my sponsor. Okay, so let me plug my sponsor real quick because I really want to plug my sponsor, and here's why. I had this stuff all planned out, and then everything went crazy, and here we are. The Brass Tap is our sponsor. The Brass Tap offers over 150 craft beers from around the globe in an upscale neighborhood bar atmosphere, and they carry almost every craft beer from almost every one of the Texas breweries, from Rollertown Beer Works to Tupps to Peticola's Brewing, and you can always count on them to deliver craft beers you're looking for. They also carry craft beers from other states and even craft beers brewed by monks from overseas. They offer weekly events with pint night, music bingo every Wednesday at 7 p.m., family feud or theme trivia every Thursday at 7 p.m., and a new live local band or music artist every Saturday night. They also offer one of the longest running happy hours in the DFW area with select $5 draft, discounted shots, $6 wines, $7 drinks of the week, along with food.
I don't know if anyone can hear me, but I sure. But all of that sounds delicious, and I wish I was in Texas to go check out and drink some craft beers. I'm so sorry. I don't know if you can hear me. It's a live theater. There, oh my goodness, I hear you something now. I hear background noise. Oh. I see your
Okay.
Yes.
Now I'm back, and
Mazel.
now if I hit this thing right here, I should be able to hear you too, because you went off
Oh,
for a second
good.
too. And sorry about that, everybody. I was in the middle of talking about our sponsor because it's such a big deal today. I'm sorry. Like I said, everything's going crazy. Everything's going weird, and I don't know what's going on anymore with any of this stuff. So I can hear you now, so that's what matters.
I can hear you as well, which also matters. And everything you were saying about your sponsor sounded pretty darn amazing. I was
Thank
like,
you.
in truth, I was pretty riveted to the words you were sharing. And then you just cut off. And I was like, no, I
Well, I
can't
mean,
do
and the
that.
reason I want to talk about the sponsor is because we've had three locations sponsor us. Allen, Texas, Prosper, Texas, and the brand new location in Frisco, Texas, which also has Old World Pizza made to order. Now, I've got this. I'm going to transfer some notes here, and I've got to tell you that we also are sponsored by, I've got to pronounce everything right, Saxy, Richardson. Yeah, Saxy and Richardson are two more locations for Brass Tap that added us. And Richardson also is another location where you can get the Old World Pizza made to order. And you can only get the pizza at the Frisco location and the Richardson location. So go check it out. And if you mention this sucky pot broadcast, if we're still if they're still sponsor after today's disaster,
I hope we are. This is great.
I'll give them another plug later on too. But if you mention this sucky broadcast, you get a free appetizer of your choice. You just mention the podcast, and that's it. And it's on the house. And that's the Brass Tap in DFW area. Lots of locations. We're back. Woo!
That
It
sounds
is.
okay. I think it's decided. Next time I'm in Dallas or in Texas, just Texas somewhere, but I'm probably going to be closer to DFW. You and I, we're going there and
Oh
we're.
yeah. Oh yeah, definitely we're going there. Are you kidding me? I get to go to an awesome place to eat and drink, and there's a beautiful woman with me. That sounds like a
Oh.
win-win-win situation for me. So,
And pizza? Yes,
and pizza.
please.
And pizza
Oh,
and games.
boom.
And I've been talking about doing a comedy thing on a Saturday night or a Friday night. We'll see what's going on with that. But there's so much to do. There is so much to do if you do come visit again here at this place. I think you'd have a good time. I know you'd have a good time. And then you can show me that place you were talking about. But now we can start the show. By the way, thank you again, Brass Tap. Okay? Five locations. Prosper, Allen, Frisco, Richardson, Saxey. I just learned how to pronounce Saxey today. It's spelled Sachi or something like that, but I figured out how to spell it. Saxey. Those are the five locations. Thank you very much. All right. Now let's talk about you. Shauna, so you're a celebrity psychic, right?
So they say, yes.
Yeah. Does that mean that you're a celebrity because you're a psychic, or does that mean that you are a psychic and you help celebrities sometimes?
In truth, I think it comes from great question. You could probably qualify in either category, but
Okay.
I think the term really showed up after I started doing, appearances on, several reality shows. I also did, of course, over time develop a bit of a roster of people who of clients who also happen to be considered celebrities themselves.
Okay.
So I think it just kind of you know, morphed into this. And so it's kind of a simple quote title, especially when doing appearances, something that they, a lot of oftentimes producers or, you know, if a company's, you know, booking me for a show or an event, you know, it's kind of a super easy, you know, pin it, you know, let's categorize her here. To be completely frank about the situation. Okay. But yeah, I mean, I'm honored at the fact that that's something that's been shared. I'm not the one who really created that title for me. It kind of just happened. And I was like, okay, sure. You know, carry on.
That's awesome. And so when did you first, like, when did you first realize that you had some sort of gift?
Well, in truth, ever since I was probably about 4.5 or 5 years old, I had extrasensory perception. You know, I imagine being a child and picking up on and seeing, you know, ghosts, spirits, angels, as well as sometimes occasionally things that were not so great. As a kid, I also remember even feeling in some cases like illness or things that, you know, health related with certain grown-ups around me. And in truth, as a child, you're not even fully developed to really understand or comprehend what it is you are kind of experiencing. So my way of coping, which a lot of empaths or just people who happen to have that extra into it, their own, you know, extrasensory perception, my way of coping was to shut it down and think that there was something terribly wrong with me, because it was easier to go into that self-deprecating mindset, because that's easier to cope with versus seeing like, oh, this is a gift. It really wasn't until probably when I went to college, after my father passed away, who I was very close with when I was 19, mm-hmm. and I went through my own kind of personal, it wasn't a literal near-death experience, but the circumstances and the feelings kind of very much felt like that for me, is where I kind of had a slap down to reality and realized that way of living my life wasn't really working. And while in college, I just kind of reconnected and started, you know, asking friends at random parties. I'm like, oh yeah, I happen to know how to read palms. Do you want a palm reading? And just started doing little sessions for friends, which led to doing readings for college professors, which led to doing events and girls' nights. And eventually I ended up, you know, getting booked by Microsoft to teach on the topics of intuition and business. And things just kind of kept growing and opportunities just kind of showing up, and I just kept saying, oh, beautiful, wonderful, yes, and kept moving forward. Right. So it was pretty amazing how that all ended up, you know, happening. And for that, I'm, you know, of course, was very grateful. And it was such a gift to be able to be of service, because I feel like in this, when you have intuitive gifts and in extrasensory perception, depending on how it comes through, if you're also called to be of service, it's pretty amazing how God, creator, the universe, whatever vernacular you prefer, kind of shows up and how it all aligns. It flows quite easily. So for that, I was truly grateful, and eventually ended up leading me and bringing me down to Los Angeles, and, you know, kept going from there.
That's great. I mean, that's just incredible. That's so... it's just amazing. I mean, when we met, you said that you could feel that I had something going on, like energy wise, like some sort of like that I was very perceptive of stuff. And then things happened. We'll get into that magical night in a little bit, because I talk about it all the time, because this is a great story. But, I remember that when I was a kid, I don't remember how old I was, but I had a weird fever dream when I was really little. And I had visions of people getting murdered. This is bad for a kid. But when I woke up, there was a murder in our town. And I was really little when this happened. And I think I think I honed in on that. I think I did. I don't know. Anyways, that's just
I totally 100 that I believe you 100%, and that does right. not surprise me at all.
Do you feel like it sometimes it isn't like an automatic turn on thing, but maybe something caused like a fever or something causes the initial switch on of what you've got going on?
Great question. I think it can happen in a variety of ways. In truth, I always, one of the, you know, kind of main classes that I've taught for years is how to tune into your own individual intuition and intuitive gifts, because everybody has them. It's not like, and I kind of get with love and respect, but I kind of personally get a little annoyed when people try to think, oh, well, you know, only special people are, you know, I have intuitive gifts, but not everyone else. I'm, you know, like kind of get all ego based right. around it. It kind of drives me nuts because, you know, everybody has their own natural intuition and their own intuitive gifts. The key is finding and connecting to how your intuition comes through. And there are many different ways in which people connect and can continue, if they choose, to expand their own natural intuitive gifts. That being said, it doesn't mean you have to become a professional psychic or psychic medium or healer. If you're called to it, beautiful. See where that goes. But you can use it in every day of your life, whether you're a lawyer, a doctor, a writer, doing professional radio, like pick a category, pick an occupation. There are mm-hmm. ways in which you can utilize it. And the reason why I share that before going answering your question is sometimes it does take, I think, an event to occur for someone to have that aspect of their intuition. Particularly, I think I see this more often, at least in my own experience, where it's a clairvoyance or premonition-based intuitive mm-hmm. gift. Those, not with everybody, but I just a higher percentage. I seem to see a pattern more often where there was like a key event that. But again, that does not have to be the case. You know, like with right. me, I felt and saw things. And I, at that, when I was 5, and it wasn't necessarily like a fever dream or a near death experience at that point. Also, you know, children in general are not already naturally so open. They're already connected, I feel like, more so to source because they, you know, somewhat recently came in. If you think about it also from that perspective, and
right,
there's yeah. not all of that human, you know, earth-based kind of like you have to be a certain way, all of those like constructs and, you know, beliefs that are kind of pressed upon them, you know, those tend to, they may start to develop, but you tend to see as someone ages, the natural gifts they may have had as a child, if they start to get shut down or compartmentalized, if you will, you know, that's where you see that external source, you know, influencing it. But I definitely, children, especially with premonition base or things, you know, that type of connection, that's I think not a very strange or something that's not believable. Cause like I myself have experienced exactly what you're talking about. And it could be intense because, you know, and it just kind of reminds you of when I've had a few premonitions, which I don't usually talk about, cause that's not really like where I like to go, but when those things happen, some of the feelings that can also come up is it's like, okay, if I've already established I'm feeling this and this really is not mine, but I'm actually picking up on something. The question that I know for myself that has come up is, well, then like, why am I receiving this, God? Why am I receiving this information? What is it that I'm supposed to do with it? Cause it's like, you know, if you pick up on a murder, are you going to pick up the phone and call, say, excuse me, 911. I just had a premonition about this right. thing happened. Like, so it's this weird, you know, dichotomy between the reality and like that, what you're feeling. And it can kind of, I don't know, sometimes make you feel like you're having your own existential internal crisis. So learning how to discern when you feel things and find your own way of processing it. And also you're allowed to have certain boundaries, especially if, and I speak now to those who feel maybe overwhelmed with their sensitivities, having their own, you know, agreements and establishing their boundaries into when they do receive messages, how they're going to utilize those and in what circumstances do you choose to allow that information to come through, especially if it's like messages and you have a natural mediumship as part of your gifts. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. Do you believe... I want to ask your opinion on this because I've been having a lot of technical difficulties. Do you believe that there's energy that's evil energy that's trying to keep us from having this podcast? Because I want to tell you a story. I want to tell you a story about a different psychic I know. And I want your theory on this story. So there's a psychic. Her name is Bonnie Reynolds. And she would call in to... She was friends with the owner of this radio station I worked at in Iowa. And every Friday she would call in and she would talk about stuff that was, you know, like, and she callers would call in and she'd talk to them for a little bit or whatever like that. She'd come into town. She'd do sessions with people. September, early 2000, in the early 2000s, she came on and she was like, I'm having a bad feeling about something that's going to happen. And then the phone cut off. She calls back and she's like, I'm having a bad feeling that something's going to happen next week. Phone cuts off again. And then she just like says, I'm not going to talk about it. And then the following week was 9/11. And I was just like, what? Like that. And it didn't kick in at the time, but it kicked in after it happened. Like I was just like, oh, that's weird because something really bad happened this week and she said something was going to happen. Something bad was going to happen. And something kept shutting her down from saying that. So do you believe things like that can happen?
Oh, absolutely. And I've definitely experienced that, especially in a couple of different ways. Sometimes when it comes to, because technology is one of the easiest things to be affected, by spiritual beings, because it's energy, right? So yeah. That especially like, you know, when you're doing live paranormal investigations, you know, so common for things that pop, you know, suddenly die. You have to, you know, just watch a few of them and you all see. You know what I'm referring to. But going back to your question, there it is. Sometimes, and for me, I always feel into the why perhaps this is happening. I've had working with clients, if there's something very, very important that they do need to, that they're meant to receive through the session, and there's suddenly like things getting cut off or there's some technological issues, I take a moment, I acknowledge it, I see it, and then I, you know, call in the angels, both the ones that I connect with as well as angels and loved ones associated with my client to help with really clearing the lines. Because especially when if someone is given about to have like an energetic shift, especially if they're like moving up in their own, and you know, and there's like this beautiful healing that's about to occur, and yet you're getting that kind of pushback. Yeah, tune in. Is this mine? Is this something that is meant to not happen, or is there something interfering? Then I would do, you know, that which I would need normally do, which is helping to clear the energetically clear the line, because that means it's something that really needs to be said. Because I myself won't allow that to necessarily stop me. Now, that being said, there are times where kind of when situations pop up, same circumstance, but like, again, going back and tuning in, is this something I'm meant to share? Is this something that needs to be shared? Or perhaps it's not meant to be this day. And for me, because I'm very visceral, as an empath, as a, my clairsentience really is what I will feel and lean onto in these circumstances. I'll feel this is something I'm not meant to do at this time. It's just for whatever reason, I don't need to know the why. And then I'll just acknowledge that. And then usually that's when I find out, oh, that was pretty important. I didn't do that because something else needed the attention or something else was happening. Right. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's kind of like goes back to that idea of it is what it is, but you before jumping to the assumption, I have to take a moment to sit. And I encourage others to do the same. Like especially when you suddenly start feeling emotional, like emotions out of nowhere, and say you're having a great day and all of a sudden you start getting all angry or like feeling all weird, you know, like ask, is this mine? Is this not mine? You know, is this something that's coming up within myself? Or is this perhaps something I maybe energetically, maybe picking up from someone else. And especially with events, as you had mentioned, especially with catastrophic events and those that have that sensitivity to those, it goes right back. Think of it as an energetic vibration. When you think about these, be it mass shootings, tsunamis, earthquakes, where there's 9/11, where there's a large number of people that are affected either physically and certainly emotionally, that kind of group consciousness, that group emotion, it's very, very strong. And so you can kind of feel that. And that's where when you do naturally feel kind of the energetic frequencies of groups of people, I wouldn't just poo-poo it. Eventually it's quite possibly going to make sense for you, especially if that's an area where you, for whatever reason, happen to have a sensitivity around.
Right.
Make sense? Get what I'm saying?
Yeah, totally get what you're saying. Totally get what you're saying. So totally. Yeah. I don't question anything really. Well, I mean, I do question things, but at the same time, some things happen and I'm like, that's happening for a reason. There's a lot of times where I'll do dumb things, like I'll lose my keys. I can't find my keys. And I'll calmly say, who's ever hiding my keys, please put them back where I can find them. And then I instantly find them. So, because I do believe there's like mischief and things like that going on, that there's energies that are causing that stuff. But today was just weird because stuff kept getting shut down. So I was like, what's going on with my website? What's going on with all this stuff? So, speaking of technology,
you made it work though,
Brad. I did.
I just want to take a moment. Somehow, we're working, we're here, you know, it's going forward. So for whatever reason, maybe we were meant to start a little bit later a particular audience member is able to really pick up on this broadcast. I don't know, but just throwing it out there.
That's interesting. See, there you go. That's what it's all about. That is. I met you because somebody called me and they were like, hey, want to go ghost hunting at the old zoo, the old Griffin Park Zoo or whatever? And I was like, yes. And we went over to the old zoo and you were there and Patty was there. And Jin was the person, he was the guy who called me. And I remember, though, the first thing I want to say about the zoo, I always tell people this about the zoo. They were decorating it for Halloween. And they had these decorating the little cages. And I thought to myself, it was really sad that animals used to live in those little cages. So I just wanted to share that I think we've progressed a lot in zoo life. I just want to share that with everybody. But anyways, so we started going around to different places, and I don't want to say I was skeptical because I do believe in those things, but we went to, I'm going to refresh your memory on that night and the stuff that happened, because it lives vividly in my head, the whole thing. So we went into this cave type thing, and there was a dark, and I am fat, so I'm just thinking I'm having breathing problems because of whatever, right? So I climb up and I'm like out of breath and whatever like that, and you instantly feel that there's something in there holding, there's an innocent feeling spirit in there or something like that, and there's a darker spirit like holding it now. And we can't seem to communicate with the spirit. And then Jin says, what if we spoke Spanish? Because we thought maybe she was Hispanic because of the region. And then you had a little teddy bear light and it started going off when that happened. And then we assumed that because she was Hispanic, that she would want to, that if you said the Lord's Prayer, that would, she was Catholic. We just assumed she was Catholic because she was from Mexico or South America.
Well, also, I feel like when we were tuning into that, there was, because we also were using that, were we also using the ghost meter that picked up on some of the words as well?
No, or was that we part didn't, No.
Part
you,
yet? Okay.
You mean the thing where it talks? You didn't have that. I didn't see that till a YouTube video later, and I was like, why didn't you have that? Because that thing is the
coolest thing I've ever seen. We actually did have it. I don't know why Patty and I weren't using that. We were so
really?
Like, we have something like that though. Are you sure? We'll have to bring.
And I don't remember. You mean the thing that goes? Angry. The thing that goes like, shh, dog, shh, cat, shh, hamster, like that. Like it like starts to say words.
Well, yeah, it tunes. Well, it tunes in. It's what's it called? It's pretty interesting. Let me see if I can pull it up. Really,
there's these two guys. There's these two guys that I watch on YouTube all the time, Ben and somebody, and they use it all the time. And they,
Ghost Radar.
Yeah, yeah. And they these kids use it all the time, and they freak me out because I'm like, because I went with you, and I feel more responsible. And I'm like, you guys are not being responsible when you go out doing your ghost hunting stuff. But anyways,
there should be a level of respect when people
right. Do this and work. I'll talk about that. I'll talk about that in a second because I do want to talk about that. But so, all of a sudden, I can breathe, like the pressure from the room goes away, and I can breathe just fine. And it was weird because I thought I couldn't breathe because I was just out of shape climbing up the thing. But really, it was because I couldn't breathe because there was some like dark pressure like pressing in. And then whoop, there we go. And then you said she went away, or she passed over, or
well, you have to, yeah. That was a really intense space. Like I remember that was not a and that we chose. Definitely a haunted place to say the least. And yeah. And as a medium, you pick up on the you know, every spirit from my experience, anybody can communicate a little bit differently. Some might give you more of like literally like kind of communicate through visual images. Sometimes I'll physically hear the words. Sometimes it can be a feeling mixed with, you know, visuals and or audio. But yeah, definitely. And Pat, it was interesting too, having two mediums together. And that's why I love working with other mediums, especially with those types of spaces, like those who are like, who have experience, expertise and
right.
You know, are legit in their work.
There were different reactions too. And that's when I was really like, I'm digging this. This is all legit. Cause you would have different reactions, but the same descriptions of things. And everything would mesh up and you'd be like, oh, this is all meshing up. So we went further on and we ran into, because you apparently have been there before. And we ran
not into, at like, the zoo.
Really? Well, somebody else had been at the zoo because you ran in, we ran into an old friend of yours, which was this Native American spirit that was named Bear.
That was Patty. That was not a.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's what, like, somebody was buddies with this spirit that we will call Bear. Bear, who didn't want to cross over because he was protecting the area. He said he didn't want to cross. He had no interest in crossing over because he was hanging out and looking over.
Yeah, like a protect. He really had, from what I recall, quite the like a natural protection energy. And there are beautiful spirits that sometimes, you know, you might come across, particularly in, you know, the paranormal investigation settings.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, and you can kind of feel like they're not quote meant to cross over due to their choice, you know, and in that sense, from what I recall, he very much had a particular role in which he was choosing to play in that space. And there was a beautiful protection energy, and that was pretty intense.
And then this is a very vivid night for me. I just want you to know that. So it was life.
I love hearing your experience.
It was life changing for me.
It's been a good minute.
Yeah, it's been a long time. It was like 2006, 17 or something, like 17, 18. So, yeah. It was a long time ago. So, but it lives vivid in my brain. And then the question is there anybody else here that wants to cross over? And then this like gangsterish type spirit comes out of nowhere. I think he grabs Patty on the butt or something like that too, or like gooses her or something like that, and like comes in and like you can feel the energy and you both respond. And that was the thing. You both responded and you both looked the same direction to this thing coming up. And that was when I was just like, because I could physically feel the person coming up just from looking at your heads moving to where this person was coming. And then he went right over. Like, he was clearly, like, he had done a lot of bad things, and he was afraid to go up and afraid to cross over. And you guys, like, forgave him. And he was apparently, clearly, like, he had a head wound, like he had been shot in the back of the head or something. Like, see, I remember a lot of this. I remember a lot of this stuff.
So. Yeah. No, I yeah.
Because then I said, then you said, do you want to try the divining rods? And I was like, okay, I want to try the divining rods now at this point. So I put the divining rods out and I'm like, hey, bear, are you here? And then do they cross when you say yes and they go apart when you say no? Is that how it works? So they cross. And then I'm like, I think I have a little, at the time I thought I had Cherokee in me. I learned now I don't, but I thought I said, I think I have some Cherokee in me. Is that okay? And then they went apart as a no. And I was like, oh, I'm sorry. Do you still love me? And then, remember this. So then the divining rods went all the way around and touched my shoulders. Like they went
like a hug.
Like, and I said, and I was like, is that like a hug? And then they went back together and said yes. And it was just insane. And I kept feeling like he went home with me. But he didn't. But I just was like, I was concerned about him going home with me because I was like, I don't know how to handle this. Because I felt like I had a good connection with Bear. But then I said, are there any bad spirits here? And then you got mad at me. You didn't get mad at me. You said, don't ask that. Like, you were like, don't ask that. Don't ever ask that question because then somebody will sneak in. And I was scared because I thought somebody would sneak in. But I want to tell you, like, I went home and almost got divining rods, but then I didn't want to get them because I didn't want them to go off in my apartment. Because I didn't want to be like, I didn't want, like, to all of a sudden be like, oh, there's something here this whole time. And I didn't know. Like, but I did. You inspired me. I wanted to get, like, a bunch of the equipment, but I didn't feel like I was ready yet.
Technically, I mean, those divine rods actually were Patty Negri's because she works a lot with divine rods as well. Divine rods. So she brought them because full transparency. And that's, and I, you know, and it's so fun because again, like with Patty and I, we often we'll get booked together, like for different events, which is, mm-hmm. She's wonderful and amazing. And we jive, but we don't always, and it's great because we don't always like, we certainly don't talk about what we're going to expect, but it's cool because when you have, you know, psychic mediums together, you know, you're kind of in that vibe and in that connection,
right.
Things show up. Like you can see that even if how they describe it, like, and how they perceive the spirit or the situation, there's a parallel, they match. And I definitely experienced that night at that space. And we were also live streaming too. That was a live paranormal investigation. So that was part of that.
Cause I was on Periscope and I logged into Periscope numerous times and did my Periscope at the time.
Yeah.
I think that's why he asked me to come over because I was on Periscope and he wanted me to stream it on my, whatever platform was on. So
that was
Jim Kelly. Intense.
Amazing guy.
Yep. 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 It was. Yep. And it was, it was a good time. It was a very good time. Absolutely. So now
and it's so funny.
Okay, you know, go ahead.
Well, I was just gonna say to you, it's so interesting to hear like how you receive like when you're describing, like, don't say that, you know, because I might have said it that way. I don't know, but the reason why is because like when you open, right?
Yeah,
that can and in truth, like that space, just as there is light, there is also shadow, and you know, allowing, being conscious of what is it that we are choosing to connect with this night? What is it that we are wanting to, you know, what is the intention behind this work? And that goes back to what you were talking about with being responsible and respectful, right, with when doing paranormal investigations or anything or anything of that nature. Because aside from that, I think being, you know, kind of like, to me, kind of I say this with love, but a no-brainer. You know, not everyone is conscious about that. And that's something that I think is really important because sometimes when you're not respectful and people try to like jive or like kind of jab spirits, whether they're stuck or in a loop or if they're not so nice, you know, entities, you are asking and you are kind of, you can be giving certain energies permission. And boundaries and permission are kind of our factors when it comes to yep. this. And that's why that's something I teach, especially with people who are wanting to do that kind of work or wanting to learn more about it.
I want to learn a lot about it, but I watched these, I watched this girl on TikTok called Chris Collins. I don't know what her name is. Call me Chris. I think it was it. And she's from Canada. And there's this other girl that was recording herself. She would record herself sleepwalking. And that was her big TikTok fame, was this girl, Selena, whatever her name was, from Canada. She was this TikToker that would like record herself like sleep talking, whatever like that. But she was very in tune on stuff. And so they took Chris, who I don't think she has any background in any of this stuff. And they took this other girl, and it was these two guys. I don't know what their name was, Ben and Tim, like these two YouTuber guys. And they have all the equipment, and I didn't want to come off as they're not responsible or irresponsible like that, like of those things. But they had an incident, because you were talking about stuff. They had an incident where they went to one house where there was apparently a demon there. And I'll say the demon's name was like Sally or something like that. And 4 episodes later, they were at another place, and their little box that says words started saying Sally. They had felt like he had felt weird for a couple weeks. And he was like, yeah, Sally attached herself to me. That's what happened. And so they had to do a bunch of, I don't know if they ever got rid of Sally, because I stopped watching because it freaked me out. But it was a very weird thing. But they had the speaky box thing, and I don't remember you having that. I like that speaky box. That speaky box thing scares me, though. But the other thing that happened, that sleepwalking girl, they were going to go to this bridge, and the sleepwalking girl got violently ill, and she had to go back to Canada. She flew home because he was so sick. And then when she said she woke up in the plane, the stewardess woke her up because she was screaming because she was having a nightmare. She explained the nightmare to them on the phone. And she was on her way back to Canada, and they had just went through the whole experience. And she basically described word for word everything that happened to them that was already on video, because they had already went through the experience.
Wow.
And she said she felt fine when she got, as soon as she got to the airport, she felt fine. Like, but she didn't want to go. And she just felt like, if I would have went to that, I think it would have been something bad. And it was very weird, like chessboard, like a big concrete chessboard in the middle of this bridge and a bunch of those. They were like in, I don't know where they were at, Ireland or someplace like that. It was very weird. It's very scary. Man. But anyways, I'm just saying that's just the weird. I'm interested in ghost stuff, but I like the stuff we did because it seemed like safer. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, there's lots of different, ranges, and regarding that situation, because I didn't witness or watch, so I can't check. I don't feel.
I'll send you the link.
Confident. If you want, I mean, I'll see if I'll.
Yeah.
But I mean, they may have been respectful, but
I feel like they're very respectful. They just get, they just had that one Chris with them, and she was just a typical TikToker girl, and I think she wasn't taking stuff. She was taking stuff seriously, but at the same time, she's trying to still make jokes. And I was just like, no, be serious right now. This is scary stuff. This is scary.
And obviously, like there are, just as there are light, beautiful, extraordinary, angels, beings of light, unconditional love, energy, pick your vernacular really in your cosmology, there is also dark, I think it's important to acknowledge it. And I think the key here, if you don't mind me saying this, Bradley, kind of going back to that feeling of, is something affecting my technology? But one of the things that not so nice spirits do, from my experience, is they really love to, they want to make you feel vulnerable. It's about help making you, because if you feel vulnerable and in fear, like this can get me, right? Or that you don't have the power. And because really you're the one incarnated in this human form. Your free will trumps the free will of these other spirits, because this is, you're on the earth realm, right? So this is where that henceforth, why boundaries and being conscious in your intention and what you choose to share is so key, especially if you are dealing with other types of energy, you know, and it, cause you know, you win in that regard. And then in bringing in the forces, you know, bringing in, you know, your angels, archangels, whatever, you know, whatever resonates with you that you view as a true higher power, hot greater than yourself. Especially if you feel alone or feeling needing protection, you know, cause especially if I'm dealing with things that are not so nice, or if I'm called to do a deep house cleaning and it is a legitimate, like, you know, what you could categorize as a demonic presence or just an entity that has ill intent and malicious intent, you know, it's like, I can help clear the space, but it's the client, the person whose home it is, it's their part of their job is to help maintain it.
Right.
Yeah. Because that's their home.
Yeah, totally. Totally agree with you. I mean, it's just, I feel like I need to smudge my house. I need to smudge my apartment.
You might. You probably, you know, right. You are a beautiful, heart-centered, amazing person. Amazing. And you are energetically sensitive, at least from what I perceive from you and what we've talked about in the past, especially when we were around that zoo trip. And with that being said, you know, especially as an empath, you know, having that cleansing, you know, doing whatever works for you. And just remember, whatever you remove, it's very important to also in turn replace, you know, at least that's from my experience. And the reason being is because with sage is very powerful. And if sage happened, or if you prefer Palo Santo, use that, whatever resonates. But when you, at least again, from my experience with sage in particular, cause it is a really, it's a sacred plant. It clears, you know, and it will clear that energy. But then once you've cleared it, what are you infusing your space with?
Right.
Get what I'm throwing down. What are you putting? Yeah, and that's where your intention comes in. So just share that with
you. Taking everything out, what are you putting it back into it? I got you.
And there's, you know, really simple ways to do that. And, you know, I often will like then use incense, or, you know, you could just, I mean, so many things, right? If you would like to use a form of a tool, but then you bring in the energy of, you know, what do I want to fill this space with? And then that's how you could really help create your home in a way that
resonates with you. I have like a sage incense, if that makes any sense.
That works.
I have like a weird sage sandalwood incense. Also, all right, so now I'm going to complain about something. I'm going to take this time to complain about something that has nothing to do with anything else. For a part-time extra income, I've been driving with this company called Shipt. Okay? You know what they are? They do like deliveries, like for Target and stuff like that. So part of the bad energy today was they canceled my account. Like, I was in the middle of doing deliveries and they said, you can't do deliveries anymore because you've been late a couple times. And I'm like, yeah, I've been late a couple times because I live in Dallas, Fort Worth, and the traffic is terrible and everything's 50 miles apart from each other. And I said, if you look at the messages from the customers, you'll see that the customers are like, oh no, I totally get it. You're fine. I've never had a customer say, oh no, you were late, I hate you. Like, it's never happened. So anyways, I'm just very angry about that. They also told me I couldn't withdraw my money, but I just withdrawed it. So take that, Shipt. Okay, yeah. that was my moment. So that's my good end. That's me reclaiming my energy right there. There we go.
That sounds.
How do you feel about? There's different. How do you feel about the program pattern?
The program pattern. I haven't watched the app. I'm not familiar with it.
Oh. It deals a lot in numerology, and you put in a bunch of information and then it, like, really, I'm going to be honest with you. If you download it, be my friend, but I'm going to be completely honest with you. I really only use it to see how I'm compatible with girls. I always just like, cause it gives you an option to, like, check compatibility, like spiritual compatibility with somebody. So that's what I constantly use it for. It's just to be like, oh, let me put me in and put this person in and then run the match to see it. It's pretty awesome. Anyways, you should try it and then friend me. I promise I won't try to make it.
Okay, just, I'll totally check it out. I love numerology.
It's well, numerology. And that was the thing.
I'm not a numerologist though.
Bonnie Reynolds, the psychic that I was friends with, she was a numerologist, and and I was in a really rough time in my life when I was working with her, and she said, "You're going to come on to your seventh, your ending phase, and your new beginning phase is coming up in a couple years, and blah 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 blah. Don't think anything of it." And then that's when I went to start doing my television show, and then afterwards I come back, I loop back around, and I said, "Oh yeah, I remember Bonnie told me like 4 years ago I was going to have a new beginning," and I'm like, "Wait, this is the new beginning year because I can feel it because everything's different." So I'm a big fan of numerology. I'm a big fan of, is it Pa Kwa? It's like a form of feng shui, but you arrange your apartment, you arrange your room in like a, you arrange each room and then your like entire Bagua. That's what it is. Bagua. That's what it is. That's what it is. I always bring that chart out, and I haven't done that with this apartment, and I'm really realizing I need to do it. Like, you have made me realize I moved in here. I didn't organize this place the way I wanted to spiritually. I didn't cleanse the place when I got in here. And that, and I just let a bunch of, I've just pulled a bunch of bad energy from the place I left, which was Chicago, to come here. And I just took a bunch of the bad energy with me. So I need to work on it.
Can I just love you so much, Bradley, but if it's all right with you, just to, something to maybe put in your back pocket. You said something very interesting that I brought the bad energy into this apartment from Chicago, right? You're like, are claiming you brought something into, whether you did or did not, you know, that's something you could look into another time. But think about, just to kind of, because I'm a firm believer in finding your in. Right. Because for whatever reason, you didn't like do your own, what you perhaps you might normally do in owning your space. But again, owning your space is quite key. And I totally get it, because there are times when I'm a human too. And when life circumstances happen, there are certain things where I'm like, wow, I really didn't, you know, I know what I should do. I know what I would normally do. I know what I would share with a client. But I acknowledge that an area of my life, perhaps, or I'm thinking about, like, especially with moving, like, I haven't quite got to that. I haven't quite set my space up. But why I think, just kind of a fun way in allowing oneself to connect, you know, to your energy, right, in your space, is through the act of, be it Bagua or doing a conscious, you know, energetic cleanse when you happen to use herbs or essential oils or you know, numerology or feng shui, pick one, you know, cause, and I think it's important to acknowledge there's no one right way to doing it. It's what resonates with you. So if it like Bagua is awesome, like if that's a way that helps you own that space, what you're doing is you're claiming it. You're creating that natural boundary, right? Okay. By being conscious and honing that intention. This is the area where I need to put these, you know, this particular item. This is the area that I would like to put this, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And that's why tools, and here's the secret, y'all. You also don't need to, you don't have to use any tool if you don't want to, if it doesn't resonate. You can literally utilize your own natural energy and connection to source to consciously clear, fill in the blank. Because you are, I often, as a channel, like people may say, oh, you're so amazing. How do you do it? It's not really me. I don't view it as me. I view it as I am holding space. I'm acting as a vessel, as a channel for the energy that, you know, that I'm consciously choosing to channel. And in my work, I work a lot with angels. And that's what resonates, you know? So that's the energy that comes through. And my intention is to channel and share in service of whatever is in service of that in the highest and best good for my client and all involved. It is being clear with what you're feeling, but you don't have to use a physical tool if it doesn't resonate. The reason why tools are actually awesome, at least in my experience, is it allows you to have something. I kind of like to visualize like a wand, right? To literally point, you are honing your energy, right? You are, it allows you to, just in an easier manner, naturally focus that intention, okay. right? And so if we're kind of like breaking down, why do these things work? Why did it not work or whatever? It doesn't matter what it is that you're using, as long as it resonates, is that that's something I'm supposed to use or that feels good for me, yeah, right? And I'm focusing my intention.
A lot of the time it's like, I need to do all my laundry. I need to get the, like, I believe in the clean environment, clean mind sort of scenario too, totally. Where well, I just need to clean up my place. Yeah, energy. Yeah, it's all energy. Yeah, so I'm all about that stuff. Let me take a break. I got to do a sponsor real quick, and then I want to talk to you about a discovery I found, and I want your opinion on it. I might even pull them out. Where are we at here? Oh, you know, I want to tell you about the quilting cat. Do you do any quilting? Have you ever quilted?
That is not an area of or skill set that I have acquired, but okay, well, I support others.
Let me tell you about it. Quilting Cat is a DFW-based fabric warehouse and online store specializing in boundless quilting fabric, and they carry new 100% cotton fabric, most of it priced at $5 a yard. And it was founded by Liz. Liz is one of the owners, and she suffered from depression and anxiety her entire life, and medication and stuff like that wasn't working. And she found quilting and sewing to be an outlet for this stuff. So she took the energy, and she after a series of failed medications and things like that, she started quilting, and she found Boundless, which was this inexpensive fabric that she could use to do the quilting. Because a lot of times when you do quilting, you have to build up a bunch of the fabric, the material and stuff like that, or you can only do one thing at a time. And so she wanted to give people the ability to build up their inventory so they could do as much quilting as they want. So she created the Quilting Cat, and that's what she does now. Quilting kept her out of the hospital alive, and so Boundless Fabric was what allowed that to happen. So she wanted to make it affordable for other people, and she calls it Quilting Pay It Forward. And that's you beautiful. Can go to you can go check them out at Quilting if you want to learn more. You can find them online at quiltingcat.com. And if you use coupon code podcast, you get 10% off your non-Zales fabric, which brings it down to like $450 a yard, which is fantastic. They also have a great website, facebook.com/quiltingcatcrafts, and a group called Quilting Cat and Catnip, where people share their projects and they talk about all things sewing and all that stuff. And it's great. And Liz is fantastic. And even if you aren't a quilter, if you know somebody who is a quilter, tell them to go to quiltingcat.com and use the coupon code podcast to get 10% off. So.
I love that. And I know some quilters, so I'm going to definitely be sending them that.
Yes, tell them that. Tell them that.
I don't have the skills, but yes, they might.
Please,
they will.
I will make sure you do that. I'm going to hold you to that. So one day when I was still in Chicago, right before I decided I was going to move, I was at Barnes & Noble. I never go to Barnes & Noble. I wandered into Barnes & Noble. And I saw tarot cards. And I thought to myself, I want to teach myself how to do tarot cards. How to do a tarot card reading. I taught myself that a ukulele during the pandemic and all this other stuff. So I'm going to take this box of tarot cards. Hold on one second. I'm going to go grab them. Okay.
You got it.
2 seconds. Okay. Here we go. So here's the situation. And I got to sit back down.
I got to sip the water.
Sorry, everybody left away. That was cards. A weird podcast. That was a weird podcasting to do. Okay, so I saw this box at Barnes & Noble. Okay? But here's the deal. I picked it up. I was like, you know what? Now is not the time. And I put it back on the shelf. Okay? And then I left. My dog, Brody, about a week later, I had to go to the bathroom. So I went out my front door, and all of a sudden Brody went to this pile of something, and I looked over and there were cards on this bush in front of my house, and they were tarot cards. And I was like, that's weird. And then I realized there was a box. And I realized it was an entire set of tarot cards that somebody had just thrown out on this bush in front of my apartment. And so I scooped them up. I put them in the box. I haven't taken them out of the box yet, because when I put them in the house, I thought to myself, why would somebody throw out tarot cards unless there was something? Like, I'm going out of focus because it's so scary.
You but are. I know. Yes. I'm watching you go more and more yes. out of focus.
That's weird that I'm going so far out of focus. I got to fix that. Okay, there we go. There, I'm back now. But it was a very, but I thought to myself, what would impel somebody to just throw out tarot cards? And where do they come from? And how are they the exact same box that I was going to buy? And so I didn't know if it was a positive sign or a negative sign. So I haven't opened them yet. I opened them in the point that they were open when I got them. But here they are. Do you see anything weird coming off of them if I hold them up?
Can you bring it closer to the camera so I can see it more fully?
Do you feel anything or see anything negative?
I think you'll need to cleanse them.
Okay.
To start. Like, okay. But that is quite the synchronistic, you know, event.
Yes. And I was like, I thought, oh, you're going to be on. I thought Sean's going to be on. I can finally.
But what does it feel like to you, Brad?
Bradley? They don't. What does it feel like
to you?
They don't feel bad. They don't, like, I don't ever get like a bad, heavy energy from them. It's just, I've always just put them on the shelf, hid them around the corner. Like, I keep them out of my main eye line because I just haven't known how to respond to them. Because it is very weird that the exact deck that I looked at Barnes & Noble would show up on my front doorstep exposed. And if I would have been smart, I would have taken a picture, because who knows? I could have shown you the layout of what cards were scattered out, and maybe it meant something, you know? Maybe it was a thing. I wish if I, you know, hindsight was 2020, I would have taken a picture of it and done it that way. And I realize that now. But it was just a very weird thing. And at first I thought, oh, this is funny. I'll put this on Instagram and TikTok because this is funny. This is just a random thing. But then the more I thought about it, I was like, well, how is that such a random thing? Because this is the exact same deck I was looking at, and I picked it up, I put it back down, and I said, I just, you know, I'm not going to spend $10 on it or whatever it was. And then
$24.95,
is that what they are?
No, I'm just kidding. I don't know. Usually the general range is $19.99 or $95.
Maybe they were. Yeah. Yeah.
Usually it's on the back.
I know. That's what I was looking for. It just isn't on there. It says Kim Kranz of the Wild Unknown.
That's really interesting. Yeah, no, well, they look beautiful, you know. And again, tarot is also one of any tools.
What if I open this up and we see what the first card is?
Should we
do that? Okay, here we go. This is the top of the deck. I hope this isn't like death or something like that.
And I don't know what card that
oh,
is.
Oh, you know what? I guess I can read it. I can tell you by opening. Oh, no, there isn't a back. That's it. There's the back.
It was a butterfly.
It's a butterfly. And then it's got.
What's the number at the top? Is it?
A three.
It's a three.
And on the bottom.
Look.
Is there a book in here? Oh, no, I'm going deep into the.
Usually it's at the back.
Nope, there's no book.
Oh,
I'm looking at them all now. No, wait, is this the book?
You sure?
Nope.
It's usually like a little booklet they'll often come with.
There's no book. I don't see a book unless it's somewhere in the middle. It's like they're just all numbered.
Someone threw it out, or because someone threw out that deck, it's maybe they got rid of the book elsewhere and didn't realize it wasn't included. Do you see them throwing down? Totally possible. So here's how you.
I can find the book. Yeah.
The way to problem solve that is, so take a picture of that card.
Yeah.
And then all you literally Google that card and the name of the deck and the author. And usually you'll find somewhere of the description that is inside the book.
Yeah. That's what I thought. I thought there'd be some way that I could find, train using this deck. So now I got to find
it. Because it might be, because it, and it, on the front, does it say tarot? Does it say, or does it specifically say the term tarot?
It says tarot on the front. It says the wild unknown tarot.
Okay.
And then the person's name is Kim Kranz on the bottom.
I mean, again,
that's the artist.
Super cool. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It looks up. Well, the reason why I asked that, because there are a lot of times in how someone creates their deck, right? Sometimes people will do the traditional, like with the certain, Crowley format, if you will.
Right.
You know, with the pentacles and this, you know, all the different suits, if you will. Again, I'm not a tarot is not my area. I know some, but that's something I mean, Patty Negri is someone that I hands down will always, you know, recommend when it comes to tarot work, especially. She's brilliant, of course, in many ways, aside from just tarot. But also there's oracle decks. And so oracle decks can have their own kind of way in which they are created based off what the author is put together, right? So sometimes they're related, sometimes they're very different. And I've also seen tarot decks claimed as tarot that maybe aren't the traditional tarot. So that's why I would recommend in finding out more, since there's not a book provided, at least in that particular deck that you happen to have, you know, that showed up on your lap. Just Google it. There's lots of different resources for you to find that out. But you have a butterfly. But we can talk about that, because you have a butterfly, a number three in numerology, and angel numerology particularly. That's an ascended master number. So that's okay. that's a great number. I think when I say ascended masters, think of, you know, Jesus, Moses, Athena, Isis, et cetera. So there's a really, and then you also have the Trinity energy with that, and you have butterfly, right? And it's a blue butterfly. So you have you are literally getting been handed a card. If you know nothing about tarot, here it comes.
I goofed up. I googled this.
It's a total transformation butterfly. Yeah, go ahead.
It's the six.
Oh, it's a six.
It's a VI, and it's the six of wands card. Which I don't know. I don't want to get into this. I don't know. Or do you want to? I mean, I do.
Transparency. I'm not a tarot reader. I know some, right? But I would, that's something that I would defer. So that being said, though, even if you know nothing about tarot, and it'd be interesting to see what the Six of Wands says, just of what you shared, a three, which also relates to, you think three, six, you are seeing that connection. Mm-hmm. Six also, if you don't mind me, I can talk about this, but if it is indeed a six, in and of itself, in an angel numerology, that also, when you start seeing a lot of sixes, that can also be a message of being aware, being mindful of how much attention you are currently having on material matters, money, material, like the physical. And there can often be some messages related to that, just in bringing forth awareness regarding those particular ideas of the physical realm. You also have, again, going back, but the butterfly is really, really interesting, because that was a beautiful butterfly on that card. And butterfly, metamorphosis, transformation, caterpillar to butterfly. So there's an evolution energy, a transformation energy. And that's what
the card says. It says, on the deeper level, Six of Wands, Wild Unknown Tarot is geared towards tapping into an internal sense of self-approval. Oh, I thought it said self-approval.
Ding, ding. So,
but this is important, because no wins will energize you in the long run if they are only performed to outside praise. Six of Wands invites you to connect with the part of you without apologizing for who you are. Go ahead and be as cool and badass as you really are. And I needed to hear that.
Yes.
That's very weird that I opened up that card, and that's what I needed to hear, especially after Shipped broke my heart with kicking me out of driving or whatever. But I was just like, you know what? That's what I needed to hear. That's very weird. When I learn how to do tarot readings, I'll do a reading for you.
That sounds beautiful. And take that message in.
I am going to take that message. I am.
Like, that's so perfect. Like, and do you see what I'm saying? Like, you, whether you take aspects of angelology, angel numerology, right? Other forms of numerology, and then symbolism. And then you literally just read that. Do you see that there is an interconnection, even if it's not like overwhelmingly blatant? Like, you can see that interconnection in the messaging behind it. So right, it's like, right. That's why I always, I'm like, there's never one, no one right way, but that was something that you were absolutely meant to hear. And especially with, you think, when you think about like perceptions of others or like how people are viewed with what that card was describing. And again, going back to the energy of six.
Right.
Material, physical, you know, and how, where is your energy focusing? And that, to yeah. me anyway, that there's a definite connection there. So, but again, any of these things, it really comes down to what is it, what does the, especially when it comes to like dreams interpretation or symbolism, right? What does that, what do these images or symbols mean to you, right? Because that's also a very important key when it comes to reading tarot, at least from my experience, or oracle cards, or doing dream interpretation. What is this? What do these ideas or symbols mean to you? Because it's not about what I think. You know, they can mean something to me, but might mean something different to you. And if you're the one receiving that card or having that dream, it's what your subconscious and what your consciousness, equates these symbols to. Get what I'm
saying?
Now,
do you also believe in, because this is the only thing I want to talk about, is that in the idea of possession and demons and things like that, is that I know you like to deal with the light stuff and things like that, but I just want to ask you this because, so I had a drug addiction a long time ago, and I would have, I don't want to say this, but I'm going to say this because I don't want to like somehow subconsciously re-trigger the dreams, but I would have these dreams where this demon was just like killing me constantly and taking over me. And later on in life, I realized, from watching shows, that like demons tend to latch on people who are weakened by drug addiction, things like that. And so then I thought, well, was that just a dream, or was that like some sort of like actual like ominous energy like latching onto me and trying to hurt me? And then when I overcame my addiction, they went away. The dreams went away. And so, I don't know, what is your opinion on that, on demons and addiction and stuff like that?
I have a lot of opinions on that, actually. Okay. And I just want to congratulations, because you're sober.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Congratulations on getting on recovery and going through that, because that is not an easy thing. Because addiction is deep.
It's deep. I literally have no problem talking about it anymore, because I finally told my mom one day. I just said, I was having a really bad day, and I was just like, I'm going to tell you this because this has been eating at me for years. And I told her about, I had an addiction for several years and whatever like that. And so I felt like a huge weight was lifted from me after I like,
that's beautiful.
After I was able to tell her that, but now also I feel like it's helping me to be able to communicate with people and have conversations with people on social media and stuff like that, because I'm like, hey, no, dude, I've been there, and I can be, I'm not afraid of like my mom reading the message, like because now she
absolutely
knows, you know, so.
Absolutely.
Yes. Anyway, so yes.
To your question though, absolutely. The answer is yes. That's a big topic. But I'm just gonna. I mean, you're being brave, so I'm gonna be brave with you. We're just gonna dive in on this. With addiction or with things where you with influence, right? This is something why for me, I consciously choose not to do sessions or work with clients. What if I am under the influence in any way? Meaning, like if I've had alcohol, I won't do readings. Some people choose to and can do like can do some things, and that's part of their process. And
right.
No judgment. Do what feels right for you. But for me, I choose not to, and I'm going to tell you why. If you think about, I'm going to use alcohol as an example. Alcohol, spirits, right? It opens up. It helps. There's that inebriation effect. And with that, the ability to keep conscious boundaries and keeping in that clear intention, right? In that highest vibrational frequency while going into that very sacred space. When you're under the influence, that can get a little wiggly. And especially but going to addiction, right? That opens up you up to so much. And especially like it, you know, I've had some experiences when I've interacted with people where unintentionally that perhaps have, unfortunately are, especially with meth, you know, meth or heroin or fentanyl, you can feel that. It's like, it's not necessarily them, you know. Now, I'm not saying every person who's dealing with an addiction has an integrated, you know, possession situation happening. There are a lot of ways in which I think things that are not so nice, if there is that opening, where unfortunately those things can influence. There's a yeah. level of permission. And so it, especially with really heavy addictions, at least from my experience, and viewing this from more of a spiritual standpoint, is the reason why is there is that opening in your energetic aura. There is a level of permission that's being granted, because you're not in your body. There's a gap. And so depending on the circumstances, yeah. I've had people who have been or through addiction, drug addictions, and I happen to end up being called to help with that, what I call an extraction. And there are various levels, you know, when I teach on this topic, and I think it's important to kind of be very sensitive to how we discuss it, not because of like being afraid or anything, but I always want to be as clear as I can, without trying to in any way incite a level of fear, because fear is where, when you start to feel fear, right, that can make one feel vulnerable, and then that's how there's like sort of, depending on where someone is and what they're going through, like, you know, that's not necessary. That's why it's important to always remember that you're the living being. If this is your body, your space, your boundaries, being aware of that. Oh, and owning your power, which really is what it comes down to, you know, because yeah. you're not in your power when you're addicted, you know, and when it comes to, you know, energetic entities, energies, there's several different categories. There is a very, for me, there's a very distinct energy when I interact with that type of situation. I'm going to be totally transparent with you, Bradley, and your listeners right now, is, you know, I don't consciously advertise that part of my work, but I have certain agreements with, you know, with my higher power, that if I am meant to do a clearing, do an extraction, be called to do that level of work, it always presents itself. It comes to me. I will get that call, even if I'm not advertising it. Something mm-hmm. will show up and be presented, and it's where it's like, this is something you're meant to help with. And so I say yes, because unfortunately, just as there are some extraordinary healers and people who do that work who are legitimate and know what they're doing, unfortunately, there are also those that are charlatans and people that utilize fear and making one feel vulnerable to take advantage of them. For monetary reasons, which is a very, very, makes my blood boil. And it's something that I really choose to be a stand in, I don't want to say fighting against, but helping to bring at minimum some education and helping people have resources and support, because, and to be able to be aware of the BS, because that, you know, that's not being of service. But anyway, back to this topic. So with the addiction, I hope that makes sense. But there's a very specific frequency, is my point. And usually, because this is how my gifts work, I physically see it. When someone is has like a full-on integration, which is the term I use, their eyes change. Because especially with when they're, if I be that, because it's almost like when you're in that space, and I've had a lot of experiences where I show up, and then it's almost like the energy is, oh shit, the cops are here. You know, and then the person experiences, like, they themselves can start to feel like, wow, I can feel really angry for no reason. Like, they start to just feel the distinction when before perhaps they weren't able to. Right. And it's like, it's because with love, things about to get shifted around. But it also requires the person who's experienced this to be a part of the extraction. It's not just me, or someone else in this line of work reaching in to pull something out. Yes, there's that energetic shift happening, right. but it's with you. You need to work with the person, and that's about help. And the reason why that's the most important is because it's their body. Going back to that idea of owning your power, right? And reclaiming you, because that gets rid of that bullshit.
Gotcha.
And also I work with I always try to bring the energy of unconditional love to the space, because things that are demonic, malevolent, wanting to cause harm, that kind of not so nice energy that's dark, they don't like to be in the light. And the frequency of unconditional love is one of the is the highest vibrational frequency there is.
Right.
That's like God energy, source energy. So when you own that space, whether that's even having to send unconditional love to yourself when you're dealing with your own dark shadow side, right? Or your own deep wounds and fears, finding a way to feel that frequency as you process it, that is what really helps you fully transform, right? Because you're going into a different space. You're in a whole different frequency. So you don't have, I find it to, it helps make it quite easier in allowing yourself to transform and shift into that, you know, highest resonance that you can, you know, that true heart-centered energy that I think is inside us all, deep down. Make sense?
Oh, yeah. Yes. You're so dreamy when you explain it, too. I feel the love energy come off of you. I really do. I mean, you just have such a great light about you. I have to read one more sponsor and then we can wrap up. I want to read this one more sponsor. Let me ruin that moment, but
I love all these sponsors. This is so fun for me.
McKinney Black Car, Ride in Style with McKinney Black Car, a family owned business based in McKinney, Frisco, and Arlington, offering luxury transportation services for events, concerts, and airport trips in the DFW area. See, now when you come to DFW, I'll pick you up with McKinney Black Car. And options include black cars, party buses. Well, maybe we'll pick you up with a party bus, stretch limousines, and much more. Reach out to Nathan, the owner, to book a McKinney Black Car today, 469-469-5452. They also have a 5-star Google review. And if the customer mentions Sucky, you get $50 off your hourly booking. So there you go. And one more time, before I forget, I want to say this again. The Brass Tap offers 150 craft beers from around the globe in an upscale neighborhood bar atmosphere. We carry almost every craft beer from almost every Texas brewery, from Roller Town Beer Works, a great brewery. I know people that are invested in it. It's a great brewery. I love it. It's my favorite place to drink. To Tups, to Petacola's Brewing. You can also count on them to deliver craft beers you're looking for. They also carry craft beers from other states and even craft beers that are brewed by monks from overseas. They host family events with pint nights, music bingo every Wednesday at 7 p.m., family feud or theme trivia events Thursdays at 7 p.m., and new local live artists every Saturday night. They also have one of the longest running happy hours in the DFW area and select $5 drafts, discounted shots, $6 wines, $7 drinks, along with food specials under $10. And you can enjoy all the sports games from one of their many large TVs and screens, covered patios that are dog friendly, and also special events which are listed on their Facebook page, such as car shows, bike nights, and events that benefit local charity groups. They have 5 locations now. They used to say 3 locations. There are 5 locations now that are meant to serve, that are now sponsors. And who knows, next week there might be more. Rumor has it. But as for right now, there are 5 sponsors. And so let me see if I'm getting them all correct, because I want to make sure I get them all. I want to make sure I pronounce them right. I get them all correct. And here they are. So the original ones were Frisco, which, by the way, Frisco, you can get the old world pizza made to order. Frisco is one of the only places. Another place you can get that pizza is Richardson, one of the new spots that is a sponsor of the show. Richardson, you can get, also is another place where you can pick up the old world pizza made to order. You can also go to Prosper. You can go to Allen. You can go to Saxie. Saxie's a new location that's a sponsor for the show. And if you go to any of these locations and you mention this Sucky broadcast, you get an appetizer. An appetizer of your choice on the house. Go to the Brass Tap. Check it out. I feel like that made up for the earlier one where we were having technical difficulties. There you go. When Shauna comes into town, I got thousands of places to take her. We can just do a round of all the brass taps. We can just go to all the brass taps. We can go to each one and be Sucky broadcast, sucky broadcast, sucky broadcast. I don't know if that. I don't want to say.
Well, I'll definitely be trying more than just appetizers there, though. Right. It sounds like they have a lot of really delicious things.
Oh, so many delicious things. And like I said, I just love the beer. I love Roller Town beer. It's some of the best beer I've ever had. They have just a great selection. And they also are available in grocery stores and things like that. I just love Roller Town. They're great. They're a great beer. Great people. The guys that run it, the guys that are investors in it, are they have a radio show. And so I listen to the radio show every midday show, and they are fantastic. And they had karaoke there, and it was great. Karaoke's always a good time too. So
that's awesome.
So wrapping up, you should come to DFW because I have a couple places we could go to if you want to do something ghost related. I'm interested in that too, but also. Yes, I feel like there's a couple different places we can go. There's a couple
I'm sure there are.
Oh yeah, I should message Patty too. That'd be a good idea.
Well, and she and I did several paranormal investigations there because we would come for the and where we both happened to be speakers at the Brace Your Spirit conference.
Mm-hmm.
That's held out there and. Part of that event is we also would go to various places and do paranormal investigations. There is some definite energy out there in Dallas.
Oh, when I was in Chicago, I went to this cleanup event where we cleaned up the lagoons, these things called the Skokie Lagoons. And this woman was like telling us how people lived out there during the Depression to build the lagoons. That was part of the Workman's Progress Administration stuff that they were doing. And so people lived there and died out there. And I thought, well, and Al Capone probably buried a bunch of people out there. And I thought, I bet this is a good area too. There's always areas where I go to where I'm like, I feel like there's an energy here and I feel it. I feel like there's something going on here. So, I need to bring Shauna in because she's the expert. So
well, let's do it. I think that sounds quite fun.
Right. Oh yeah, because I was at this restaurant for just eating. It was delicious, called Roger's Roundhouse, and it's an old train repair shop. And like stuff like that, I think to myself, like I always think like weird stuff. Like when I lived in Mount Pleasant, Iowa, that was my hometown, and I lived in this apartment that was called the Harlan House, which was an old hotel that had been converted into apartments, but the hotels were ran by James Harlan's daughter who married Abraham Lincoln's son. So so Abraham Lincoln had stayed there at some point or whatever. So also, but all I thought about it was like, I wonder how many like dead prostitutes there are in here. Like, it's like, because I just thought of like old timey Western stuff. And I was like,
there's a lot
I wonder
energy,
how much like
for sure.
Yeah, I was like, I wonder how much like, and that's why down here, especially because there's a lot of land that's like undeveloped and stuff like that. And you just think to yourself, what's down here? What's around here? Like, there's a whole other energy world. So,
well, one of the things that I've done a lot, especially with like interesting places in Dallas or other areas where you don't necessarily know the historical background, but you go and you do an investigation, document like what you're feeling, what you're picking up, what's there. And then after you completed it, then look up the building, look up the history, if you're able to like, and then you could, and it's really interesting to see and to have that validation when you find out later that, oh my gosh, this is what we were seeing. This is the number, whatever it was. And then you find out, the backstory and you're from a almost like a third party source. So it's like, you have to make sure, don't look it up beforehand. You have to be legit about it.
I had like when I got out of college, I moved to this place called the Amana Colonies, which are these old German colonies in the middle of Iowa, and they were like five colonies apart from each other, and people would walk back and forth, live there back before it was like whatever, and then they turned it into Amana refrigeration, whatever. Anyways, so I would I worked at the theater and I worked at the box office, and the theater was inside the visitor center. So I picked up this book called Ghosts of the Amana Colonies. And I was reading this book about ghosts of the Amana Colonies. And I'm like, there's a lot of ghosts in this. I live in West Amana, and there's a lot of ghosts in this house called the Flick House. And they're like, which house is the Flick House? And they're like, it's the big yellow sandstone house. And so I drove through. I'm like, I don't know. I'm looking at, there's only five houses in this place, and none of them are the thing. And they were like, well, you know, West Amana doesn't follow the same rules as the other Amana. So like people put up siding. They're like, it's the one with the pink siding. And I'm like, that's where I live. That's my house. And then I realized when you walked into the building, there was a painting, and the painting belonged to Grant Wood. Because Grant Wood, the guy who painted American Gothic, was apparently secret gay lovers with this Carl Flick guy that was in this house, right? So he painted in this picture. So there's a picture in the lobby of this apartment. And the thing about Amana apartments were, in the old days, each family lived in a room. Like, that was how the colonies were. So when you got a whole floor to yourself, like when you, in current day, when you rent an apartment, you had five giant wooden empty gigantic high ceiling rooms, and there was so much energy going on there. And I bought like a computer. I bought a computer, a brand new Mac G4, whatever, like when they first came out, and it always ran really bad, and I couldn't figure out why. And then when we moved, it ran great. And one of the stories was that Carl Flick, when his mother died, Carl Flick found out that his mom had a bunch of money that she had like hidden. And so he started spending the money and buying stuff. And so then he bought himself a wristwatch. He bought himself a brand new table. And he came home and the table was broken in half. And his watch always ran backwards. And it was because his mother didn't like to spend money. So she like cursed everything that he spent money on. Oh, and man. So when we moved into this place, I bought this computer, which with money I shouldn't have spent. And that's why it always never worked. And I realized that now. That was another one I realized. But it's very strong. But it was there was a lot of dark energy in that house. And like, I remember picture frames like flying off and hitting me and stuff like that. And I was just like, aww. I don't want to be. But a lot of that also had to do with the fact that the landlord in the basement, he was doing taxidermy. And I feel like a lot of that was he was ripping apart these animals and stuffing them and doing stuff like that in the basement. And that was what was causing the bad energy. That was then feeding other bad energy in the house. Was that a dog? I hope that was a dog.
I have two little dogs here. They're like, oh, okay. Hi, Mom. Are you done yet?
I heard a chain and I go, oh my God, I'm hearing chains now.
Like, so it's funny. Anyways, you're just scary. I know that was too, but that's an intense story. I don't know. You know, with tax, I mean, I don't know if it was just that, but sometimes it's interesting how compound, like certain element, factors that can actually come into play regardless, particularly when you're dealing with poltergeist or paranormal activity, where there's actually like multiple things that are influencer or like contributing to the increased energy or the increased activity. So I wouldn't necessarily say that go taxidermy alone happened, like was the cause by any means. But I can tell you, I don't know what else was going on down in that basement. That's something that I personally just, you know, along with like the history,
the whole city, you know, was the whole colonies. Intense, the whole colonies were haunted. It was just because the whole book was just like, this guy got murdered on the way to see his girlfriend in this colony and all this other stuff. And like, there was like, there's like a little tombstone that belonged to a prairie girl who had died on her way to the West. Like, as they were traveling through, she died, and it was just an unmarked prairie. It said her name or whatever like that. It just said like Maria or something like that. And it was just a tombstone. And they had built the highway around it. Like, they didn't bury it. Like, they just built the highway so it went around it or whatever. And people would be like, at midnight on Halloween, it glows. And all this other weird stuff would happen. But it was a very spiritual, intense. Well, you know, that was the same area that brought us Ashton Kutcher. Because that was where he was from, too. So there you go. I'm sure he has those stories, too. Ashton, if you're watching, come on this podcast whenever you want. Sean, where can people find you? I'm going to wrap it up because your dogs are giving me a signal they want to go outside. So where can people find you?
No worries. You can find me on Instagram right now. My handle on both Facebook actually and Instagram is at the Shauna Grace. Feel free to follow me there as of right now, because I have some other things I've had
to
help with. On what?
Are you on Threads yet?
I am not on Threads yet. I know. I have been with everything. Some interesting things have come up related to family. And so my own well-being, you know, and I'm totally transparent, like right this second, I'm not taking on additional new clients. I may still do events, things like that, but schedule-wise, it's kind of booked out because of the limited availability right now. So really the best way is just, you know, follow me, connect on Instagram and or Facebook, whatever works for you. And I'll definitely be opening things back up in the near future. But right now, that's going to be the best place.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you. I love you. I love having you on the show. You're fantastic. I sent you the link for Paddens. Please download it, because I feel like you would get a good vibe off of it. And
thank you.
Yeah, so I just wanted to say that I really do appreciate you. I think you're the best.
Oh, love you. Thank you so much.
Listen, it took a long time to get you on the show. there's a lot of work. We're not going to lie about that. It was a lot of me texting you going, Connor, are you coming on the show? Are you coming on the show? I'm going to remind you that you should be on the show. You should be part of the show. This is important.
Well, I'm glad you hounded me, and I'm glad we were able to finally make it happen.
I'm glad that we did that too. So thank you. And you have a wonderful evening. And thank you everybody else for being a part of this Sucky broadcast. I'll be back with another episode next week. Thank you to the Brass Tap. Thank you to McKinney Black Car. Thank you to the Quilting Cat. I appreciate you all very much. Thank you for whatever energy was causing the weird stuff to happen. I'm cleansing. That's what I'm doing. I'm taking care of all this stuff. You guys had better watch out. That's what I'm saying. So I will be back next week with another installment of this Sucky broadcast. And you, all of you, have a wonderful week ahead. Thank you so much.
You've been listening to This Sucky Broadcast. Learn more at thissuckybroadcast.com.